truth, discovering the precious jewels that have been hidden. It is the laborer's privilege to have a constant supply of fresh truth for the people. He should be in such a position that he can bring from the treasure house of God not the same thing over and over, but new beauty and new truth. We must not for a moment think that there is no more light, no more truth to be given us. We are in danger of becoming careless, by our indifference losing the sanctifying power of truth and composing ourselves with the thought, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, Revelation 3:17. While we must hold fast to the truths which we have already received, we must not look with suspicion upon any new light that God may send. It has been shown me that there is a fault with us of honoring the human, flattering men, accepting their ideas, their judgment as the voice of God, and advocating their cause. Many have such confidence in those whom they have been accustomed to regard as leaders that they seem incapable of discerning when these persons are in error, and they are ready to cling to and defend erroneous positions because others do so. This spirit is displeasing to God and is dangerous to all who indulge in it, for if leading men allow themselves to be controlled by prejudice, evil surmising, or envy, those who look to them for an example are led astray. Brethren, trust not in men. Look to God. Trust in His infallible wisdom. Shun as a sin the practice so common, even among Seventh-day Adventists, of becoming the echo of any man, whatever his position. Listen to the voice of the true shepherd, and you will never be led astray. What comes to mind, brothers and sisters, we were just at meetings in London. We've been there three times, and each time this passage in Daniel 11 has been brought into controversy there by self-supporting ministries from the United States and England that hold meetings just prior to our meetings to try to undermine this presentation. And one of the testimonies that came out of there is a leader of a ministry in London. The first time he was confronted with the term the glorious land, being the United States, he had never studied it. So before he did any of his own personal study, this is his personal testimony, by the way. This isn't just me guessing on what he did. This is his testimony. Before he studied out what the glorious land was, he got on the telephone and he called a leader of a ministry on the east coast of the United States and said, what is the glorious land? And that leader says, well, the glorious land is the Seventh-day Adventist church. And that settled it for him. That settled it for him, and it settled it for him in such a fashion that he's willing to give a public